It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, our guest explains why urban areas in Wisconsin are seeing population growth while rural areas are shrinking.
First, there's no voting this week, but there's still some big news on the presidential campaign trail. Paul Ryan shared some strong opinions on who should be considered as a nominee at a contested convention and who shouldn't. Candidate Donald Trump suggested some possible running mates if he wins, and there's been a big fight for delegates, one vote at a time.
Harry Enten joins us every week at this time to give us his take on the big stories from the campaign trail and beyond. Harry's senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Paul Ryan, as we mentioned, seemed tentatively to be ruling out the idea that he could be a nominee for the presidential race. Let's give a listen to what he had to say.
We have too much work to do in the House to allow this speculation to swirl or to have my motivations questioned. So let me be clear. I do not want, nor will I accept the nomination for our party. So let me speak directly to the delegates on this. If no candidate has a majority on the first ballot, I believe that you should only choose from a person who has actually participated in the primary. Count me out. I simply believe that if you want to be the nominee for our party, to be the president, you should actually run for it. I chose not to do this. Therefore, I should not be considered, period, end of story.
Harry, it sounds like he's really on the fence there, if I'm reading that right. No, I'm kidding. Is that really as definitive as it sounds?
Look, future President Ryan, no. I'm not sure what he's supposed to do here. You know, if he says he's not going to run, all of a sudden people say, oh, no, he's just lying. If he keeps quiet and says nothing, oh, he's being coy. I mean, let's take the man at his word. I mean, it does really sound like he doesn't want any part of this. Now, of course, he also claimed he didn't want to be speaker, and then look at what happened. But this is a very different ballgame. I mean, he was already in the arena when it came to the House of Representatives and being speaker. Here, as he's clearly said, he did not run for president. I mean, does this Sherman-esque type statement mean that he can't possibly be the nominee? No, but I think at the end of the day, when you look at what's going on, and we can get into it on the delegate math and the selection of the delegates at these state conventions, most of these people are either Trump people or, for the large part, even if they're Trump supporters on the first ballot, they may be Cruz people on the second, third, fourth ballot. So I don't really see a President Ryan in the future, a Republican nominee Ryan in the future. And clearly, it seems, at least, he doesn't want any part of it if we take him at his word.
And we take you at your word, Harry. And yet, Paul Ryan released a video that a lot of people say looks kind of presidential, like a campaign ad, if you will. Is he at least maybe not this year running, but maybe trying to set the table for 2020?
Sure. I mean, remember, he's only talking about this year, saying he's not going to run. Paul Ryan has often been talked about as a potential presidential candidate, or Republican nominee, going back a few years now. And if you look at the polls and you look at just generally where this Republican race is heading, their chance is greater than not that the Democratic nominee will probably be Hillary Clinton, will be the president of the United States. Now, that's far from guaranteed. But there is certainly some room to try and suggest that maybe, hey, down the road, think of me and I can be the savior of the party in 4 years.
Well, interestingly, the other name that had been thrown around at some points for that non-candidate emerging as the so-called white knight in a contested convention was Mitt Romney, who Ryan ran with a few years back. Ryan here saying, hey, delegates, only vote for someone who ran at some point in this campaign. So that, if they followed his guidance, would rule out somebody like Mitt Romney, too.
It absolutely would. I mean, I'm not, you know, privy to the insider talk between the two of them. I wish I were a fly on the wall when they were having a telephone conversation. Unfortunately, I'm a human being. But I would say that, you know, Mitt Romney has basically, even if he hasn't issued the same Sherman-esque type of statements, he's clearly said get behind Ted Cruz at this point. And remember, Romney is an older guy. Romney has very low favorables right now among Republican voters. He would not be the type of figure that I think Republican delegates would be able to coalesce around Republican voters and feel good about the process. So I think Romney recognizes that. I think Ryan recognizes that. It's probably going to be, you know, if it's not Donald Trump, it's probably going to be Ted Cruz, the Republican nominee. But we'll see what happens. I mean, you get to a contested convention, who knows? We haven't had one of these in so long that I don't think anyone really knows how it will all go down.
We're talking presidential politics right now with Harry Enten from 538.com. And Harry, let's dig into the delegate tallies before we go any further. How's it looking? Is it looking like this contested convention scenario is a distinct possibility at this point?
Oh, I think it's absolutely a possibility. In fact, our website just published some new sort of delegate tallies. And basically, you know, you need 1,237 delegates, a majority, in order to win. And right now, I think, and I'm very close with my colleague Nate Silver on this one, we have Trump probably getting actually only about 1,160 or there and about, which, of course, is well short of 1,237. Now, the question is, this only looks at the pledged delegates. There are 100 plus unpledged delegates. For instance, there are 54 in Pennsylvania that we can't possibly allocate because we don't exactly know how they're going to go. But Trump clearly is in some trouble. He is far from guaranteed of getting that 1,237 on the first ballot. And if he falls short, if it gets to a second ballot, based upon what we know of who the delegates are and who they may secretly support, even if they are pledged to Trump on the first ballot, it doesn't look good for him on a second ballot. So it is far from guaranteed that he wins the Republican nomination.
And now there's a battle, almost delegate by delegate in some places. The Cruz campaign trying to line up first ballot delegates, or, as you say, get those people who are Trumpers in the first round, can go anyway in the second and subsequent rounds. You wrote about what just happened in Colorado as an example of how the Cruz campaign appears to be way better at this job of getting these delegates than the Trump campaign.
Yeah, so Colorado held a convention, held a number of quote-unquote conventions, both on the congressional district and the statewide level. And basically, there were just a few voters who were determining who these delegates would be. And Cruz just out-hustled, out-organized Donald Trump and was able to get all 34 of the delegates at stake, which is a pretty big deal, you know, when we're going delegate by delegate by delegate. And beyond Colorado, if you look at these other contests, remember, there's a difference between delegate slots and delegates. The delegate slots are basically those, you know, Trump has delegate slots, that is people or slots that will have to vote for him on the first ballot. But the actual delegates are oftentimes not voted upon by actual voters. They are voted upon in a separate process in conventions. And these conventions tend to be considerably more friendly to Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz has been cleaning up in them. So if we get to a second ballot, these people, as you said, these delegates may in fact be more favorable to Ted Cruz in a second ballot.
How ironclad are these delegate pledges, though? I mean, can't anything change once these delegates hit the convention floor?
Sure. I mean, you know, there are a whole bunch of ways that the rules can change, you know, crazy stuff that could happen with the Rules Committee. But if, you know, if we forget the crazy talk and the sort of West Wing scenarios, and we sort of look at who these delegates are, you know, on a second ballot, they are not pledged to Ted Cruz, but they do seem to be more favorable towards him. They are people that have been pushed by his campaign. So sure, maybe, possibly, Donald Trump could somehow entice them. For instance, he could tell them to, you know, give him a nice trip to Mar-a-Lago, which may be ethically wrong. I don't believe there's anything legally wrong with it. But if you really look at it, these types of people don't tend to be Trump supporters. Trump supporters tend to be those who maybe haven't been as involved with the party, while these Cruz people who seem to be winning these delegate slots seem to be significantly more conservative. And Donald Trump may be a lot of things, but I think most Republicans would argue that he's not really all that conservative.
Hey, another bit of news from the Republican side with the Wisconsin connection. Donald Trump, you're saying he's the front runner. He thinks he'll win this thing. Talking about possible running mates. Marco Rubio, who he once called Little Marco or a choke artist, Governor John Kasich, who he called a dummy in the past, worst presidential candidate in history, and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Trump had in the past called him a puppet of the Koch brothers, said his record as governor has been a disaster. And yet these three guys are topping his list of potential running mates. None of them really seemed eager for that. What do you make of this talk?
I mean, look, Donald Trump never said, I never believe anything Donald Trump says, to be perfectly honest, except I think he does tell the truth when he says he believes in himself. I believe that's absolutely true. But I don't believe Trump when he made those comments in the past that were so derogatory towards his opponents. I don't think he actually really meant that. I think he said it because he thought it could help him win votes, or he thought it made him feel good. Now he's saying something entirely different, that maybe he wants him to be his vice president if he were so fortunate to win the nomination. I'm not sure I necessarily buy that either. I think what's going on is Trump realizes that he's close, that he can, in fact, become the nominee, and he's looking to pull any possible way, any votes that he can to get him over the hump. And by naming people who people might say, hey, these guys are actually qualified, and maybe Donald Trump isn't all that crazy, I think he's seeing that and sort of understands that he's trying to pull voters. But if he were to become the nominee, I really have no idea who he'd select. I've learned long ago that trying to figure out who the vice presidential nominees are going to be is a folly of a game.
We're talking right now with Harry Enten about Paul Ryan's denial that he would accept the Republican presidential nomination at a contested convention, where the delegate counts stand, and who might be the potential vice presidential picks on each side.
We'll get into the Democratic side of things, too, in just a bit. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Do you think Paul Ryan is right to say, no, don't pick me in a contested convention, pick somebody who's actually run on the Republican side? Do you have thoughts on the issue of a potential running mate for Trump or Cruz or Clinton or Sanders, for that matter? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email talk@WPR.org. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, talking about the ongoing race for the White House.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Paul Ryan says, not it, not going to run, don't pick me. Do you think he's right to do that? What do you hope comes out of a potential Republican contested convention? Should it be whoever has the most votes, the most delegates going in? Should it be someone who's run, or should it be the best candidate as picked by the convention? How about the Democratic side? What are you thinking about the superdelegates? How do you hope they're going to swing in the race between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders? What are you watching for in New York? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org.
And Harry, let's switch over to look at the Democrats now. We've got New York coming up in just about a week or so. Where do the Democratic campaign stand right now?
There hasn't been a single poll that has had Hillary Clinton up by anything less than 10 points. That's worse than she did 8 years ago against Barack Obama, but she's leading. And what we know right now is Hillary Clinton has, you know, an over 200 pledged delegate lead. And in order to really mount a comeback, Bernie Sanders overall, when we looked at it, needed to win in New York. And there's just not much of a sign that he's going to do that. He certainly closed in the polls from where they were earlier this year. But time has basically, it seems, unless something happens in the debate tomorrow night, it seems that time has basically run out. So I don't know what else to say, except that New York is a very diverse state, and Hillary Clinton does very well among black voters, which there are many of in New York, and she also does well with Jewish voters, which there are many of in New York, and right now she looks like she's poised to win, although, again, not by as large of a margin as she did 8 years ago.
And speaking of the superdelegates, we mentioned those a few moments ago. Senator Bernie Sanders picked up his first Wisconsin superdelegate last week. Here's State Assembly Representative David Bowen.
I want to make sure that their voices are heard, and currently there are no superdelegates supporting Senator Sanders, and I'm glad to be the first one.
And he had said that he's reflecting the will of Wisconsin voters. Do you think superdelegates, what's going to be the mix? How many of them are going to go with their candidate of choice? How many of them are going to follow their state or their district voters?
I think, you know, Hillary Clinton obviously has already racked up a very large superdelegate lead. It wouldn't be shocking if Bernie Sanders was able to pull a few of those who currently have voice support for Clinton and put him into his column. That happened 8 years ago with Barack Obama. He won over some of Clinton's supporters, but most, the overwhelming majority, stayed with her. And remember, the key difference from now and 8 years ago was Barack Obama had a lead in the pledged delegate count. Right now, it's actually Clinton who does. So, sure, it could be, you know, especially those who are on the sidelines, they may go with who their congressional district, their state voted for. But for the most part, I think those who are already with Clinton are going to stay with Clinton, and the superdelegate should help put her over the top.
It's interesting, just the last week, Harry, it seems as though both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have gotten a little short fused with each other and have accused each other of being unqualified for the job of president. How is that playing out in New York? How is it going over?
I mean, if you look, most of the people in New York who have the biggest voices are Hillary Clinton supporters, perhaps not surprisingly. So it hasn't gone over particularly well with them. But, you know, the polls are mostly stable. You know, again, they show somewhere between a 10 and a 20-point lead for Hillary Clinton. Most of them are more, maybe they say the 12 to 15-point range. But, you know, the campaign took a nasty turn. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But overall, the trajectory of the race seems to be staying the same.
Take a call now on the Democratic side of the ticket. We've got Mick calling from Eau Claire. Mick, hi.
Yes, hey, how you doing? Quick question related to the delegate count or the superdelegate count. Now, all this gets put forward before any votes really kind of go out. How is that really fair to a person trying to run and maybe be competitive to Hillary? And then what other impacts, and I'll take my answer off the phone, do you think that Rachel Joe Curran, the mayor, did on TV the other day? What do you think that's going to have? What impact? Thank you very much for letting me ask the question.
Mick, thanks for the call. So to sum up, if I have this story right, there was a skit, the New York Mayor de Blasio, Hillary Clinton, an actor from the Hamilton cast, a joke from the mayor about CP time. Stood for colored people time. Most people read that as seen as offensive. They joked about something politician time. That there's been a bit of outrage about that. Maybe that's something that'll upset people in New York. Harry, are you following that one?
Yeah, I sometimes I wonder what the heck politicians are thinking. That was offensive, I would say. A number of people found it to be offensive. Hillary Clinton's lucky that she basically was able to throw Mayor de Blasio under the bus. Which he did, saying it was his idea for the skit. We haven't had any real polling since then to get a real gauge. I'm not sure that it's the type of thing. If she had come up with the skit, maybe it would have been different. But clearly not a good moment for her, and certainly not a good moment for Bill de Blasio.
And Harry, is another bit of interesting media coverage from, I think it was just last night, actually, that Donald Trump had his family on CNN. What kind of effect does that sort of bringing in the family have, if any, on campaigns?
I think if, you know, you read what people's reaction were to at least Ivanka Trump, she makes Donald Trump look really good. She's a smart, intelligent woman. And if you associate her brand with Donald Trump's brand and you're a Republican voter, then I think it only does favors for him. And I think he obviously has a problem with women voters, although in Wisconsin he did about as well with women as he did with men. In many states, that's not the case. So kudos to him. I think it helped him out. Whether or not people really make their vote judgment based upon how, you know, smart the daughter or son of a politician is a whole other question. Certainly didn't hurt him, though.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com. But, Harry, part of that story may reinforce the idea that his campaign isn't that organized on getting ready to get delegates, to get votes. His kids didn't register in time, as I understand it, to vote in New York. Going along with that story in Colorado, where they didn't have names of their delegates available for people to vote for, or names of people who weren't their delegates, more signs of a lack of old-fashioned campaign organizing?
Yeah, so Ivanka Trump was a registered undeclared, and New York has a closed primary where only those who are registered with the party can vote, and the law is such that if you want to re-register with the other party, you have to do it very early. You had to do it in October of last year in New York State, and clearly that did not work out for Ivanka Trump and Eric Trump as well. Yeah, I think it does show a bit of disorganization. I think it's sort of that they forget the details. And it's perfectly fine to forget the details if you're running away with the race, but if you're only getting 37% of the vote and less than 50% of the pledged delegates, then it's not okay. Then you need to do better. And so far, in fact, he hasn't done better with the details. We'll see if he's able to pick that up going forward, because if he doesn't do better with the details, it could end up costing him the nomination.
We've got an email here from David in Madison who says, and I'm not sure about pronunciation here, but Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio would make an outstanding running mate for Hillary Clinton. He's a popular progressive senator from a critical swing state who would help shore up recalcitrant Bernie Sanders fans. Any sort of rumblings are you hearing about Senator Brown from Ohio, Harry?
Sherrod Brown would be, in my opinion, a great vice presidential pick for Hillary Clinton for the reasons that emailer said. He has progressive bona fides. There's no doubt about it. He has spoke to the ills of the working class. And the real question, though, is whether, A, he wants it, whether, B, Hillary Clinton has a good relationship with him, and then, C, which is something that's a little more insider baseball, if he were to resign his seat, the governor, John Kasich, who's a Republican, obviously, because he's running for the Republican nomination, would fill that void, and I'm not sure that Democrats would be willing to give up a Democratic seat, at least initially.
Harry, a lot of the story, a lot of the stuff we've talked about over the last bunch of months is who's going to drop out of the race when. It seems like four, maybe all five of the major party candidates are in this thing till the end. Do you see any change in that?
No, not really. I mean, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are certainly going on to June 7th and probably even a little bit afterwards when Washington, D.C. votes on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump aren't going anywhere. There's some question of whether John Kasich might, but, you know, the truth is he's only won one state so far and he seems to keep going, so why should we bet against his will to stay in the race?
Well, Harry, thanks a lot for joining us as always. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds good.
That's Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. He joins us at This Week every time to talk about national politics, which, of course, these days, mostly the presidential race.
Coming up after the news, we look at a study that shows Wisconsinites are leaving rural areas for urban parts of the state. We'll talk about what that could mean coming up. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And by the way, coming up, we're also going to dial a Swede. Find out what that's all about coming up after the news. This is Central Time.